So Surge is back. That's good.
I almost want to order a case.
At $14 for a 12-pack.
Now, they are tall cans.
16 versus 12.
But still, $14 is still really high.
But yeah. Are the commercials going to be back?
Probably not.
It's an Amazon exclusive, so no, they don't do those.
Couldn't they just do, like, a novelty commercial? Put it on YouTube or something just for fun?
They just get one of the old commercials off YouTube and then slap an Amazon ad at the end of it.
Yeah, that could work.
Well, fine if you want to be practical about it. But all those commercials are, like, VHS quality and terrible. They need something, like, high definition. We need HD Surge commercials. Sell them on Blu-ray, like one disc with a 30-second commercial on it and nothing else. That's worthwhile, right?
Yeah.
They'd still sell it for $50 in Japan.
Yeah.
Yeah, Sailor Moon Crystal Blu-rays, 2 episodes, $45 for the regular version.
So, Japan.
Fuck you.
Japanese pricing.
Oh, is that an international release?
No, this is a Japanese release.
Oh, well then, that's... Viz will be putting out a release next year.
Though,
so,
amazingly,
so.
Toei is actually fixing animation for the Blu-rays.
So they're reanimating most of the episodes?
They better.
They're adding in things like emotion.
And fun?
What's weird is that Toei... Anime, I mean, they're like, they have really inconsistent quality, but usually they, you know, emote. I mean, like, you know, your Dragon Ball, or your One Piece, or your Precure, or your Digimon, they all, you know, they emote, and, you know, you can get a lot of them.
Yeah, Sailor Moon Crystal's animation was bad even for Toei.
It's really weirdly stiff.
It's kind of sad when you get right down to it.
They're trying so hard to emulate her artwork that they've eliminated any chance of animating something.
Yeah, that's... Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a happy medium.
It may as well be one of those animated comics.
Hmm.
I think those usually look better.
They usually do.
But, I don't know, it's weird. And I like some of the new voice casts. It's just... I don't know.
Hey, it has Mega Blue in it, so...
I don't know, I watch Crystal, but I would rather watch the redub of the original.
It is, and I started watching that the other night. It's really good.
Uh-huh. Yeah, the only voice I don't like is Luna, because Michelle Ruff is just Michelle Ruff and can't do anything else.
I like Luna's voice.
So
honestly.
Both
like,
the cats
like
are going to be people who have are just going to be...
Yes, because Artemis is Johnny Young Bosch.
Yeah.
Yeah, except
it'll
that
be
might
a while till we. It would be a while till we get there, though, because they only have up to 23, and that doesn't come out on Blu-ray till November, so it won't be till next year until we see Venus, I think.
And anyway, that might work.
Mm, yeah, I think so. I do think Luna is an improvement over the original dubs, but then again, everything's an improvement over the original dubs. So I mean, what can you do?
Not everything.
Name one.
Saban Moon.
I said the original dub.
It wasn't even Saban.
It's still an improvement over that.
Everything is an improvement over that.
Well,
my
one
bowel
thing
movements
the new,
are an improvement over that.
One thing the new dub won't have over the old one is that there's not going to be a Stan Bush insert song.
Well, yeah.
Are we sure about that? He probably needs a paycheck now, right?
Well, they wouldn't do that, though, because they're going to retain all the original music.
Unless Stan Bush does the original music.
I don't think it works that way.
I wonder if the DVDs are going to look more like the Japanese DVDs, the old US DVDs, or hopefully the Italian DVDs.
The Italian DVDs?
Yeah.
It's like Italian Spider-Man?
The Italian DVD releases look much better than any of the other Sailor Moon DVDs.
That's weird.
Do they come in spaghetti?
All covered with cheese?
It's not a Western.
Oh. Maybe it'd be better if it was. Sailor Moon reimagined as a Western?
Now, there is that one cowboy horse pogo stick monster from S.
I don't think that counts. Also, it'll probably be like 2 years before we get to S in the redub, so. Once they start going really fast.
They've been doing... They actually did... I imagine this was already, you know, in production before they ever made the announcement, but it's still a pretty good turnaround time.
I just have this image of they're going to get, like, halfway through, and either the interest is going to drop out, or the money's going to stop, or both, and, you know, the rest of it's just never going to get finished.
No, I think, considering it's Viz, and they're still dubbing Naruto and Bleach, yeah, they'll probably.
Is anyone watching either of those?
You know, like, amazingly, if you go to, like, say Crunchyroll or Hulu and look at like the most watched things, it's still like Naruto and Bleach. Still. To this day.
Sort of depressing.
Kinda is.
At least it's not One Piece.
Well, that's usually up there too.
Shut up.
Is there a One Piece Yu-Gi-Oh! Crossover?
Seems like there should be.
Different animation company, so that's not going to happen now.
You sure about that? Because they kind of look exactly the same to me.
Well, I mean, they're both from Shonen Jump, and they both started around the same time in Shonen Jump.
And they're both fucking terrible. I can say fucking since we're pre-show, right?
Don't worry about it. Some of that's going to go in, but I'm not sure what yet.
I know what's going in. And I know where it's going.
Yeah, but not until later.
Oh, it's always time for your mom.
Standing by. Complete. This is Superhero Time. With XV.
It's never all right. It's Superhero Time.
Hey, Mickey.
It's funny because it's sad.
Paladin.
It's funny because they're tiny.
Ken. And Fort Max.
Never give up.
With special guest.
Also, Ken, you're a butt.
Speaking of poop, it's superhero time. How's that for a segue?
2 weeks in a row. What madness is this?
What the frick?
Wait, did we open with poop last week?
Probably.
Perfect strangers, so that counts, right?
No.
Shut your whore mouth.
Although
if you
weren't like...
in Michigan and I was afraid to go up there, I'd come out there and slap you.
Although, Mickey, I did
Ultimate
enjoy your...
security.
I did enjoy your observation last week that we are the only tokusatsu podcast brave enough to open with 4 minutes of Perfect Strangers discussion.
Yeah,
because we
you
totally
won't see
are.
Toku Nation's podcast starting up with Larry and Balky. Uh-uh, no way.
I wouldn't know. I don't listen to that crap. I don't actually listen to any other toku podcasts, but I will listen to other Transformers podcasts, so what does that tell you?
I don't listen to any podcasts. Podcasts are terrible.
I listen to a few podcasts.
I only listen to podcasts that are relevant to my interests or have people on that I want to hear made fun of.
And by I only listen to recordings of number stations.
Wait, what?
Number stations, those things from the Cold War that is broadcast random numbers out on AM bands.
I don't know this.
They're absolutely terrifying.
Although, I'm a lot younger than you, so...
I'll see if I can find one real fast.
Oh, boy. What have I started here?
I believe you called it superhero time.
Yeah. On reflection, if I wasn't so bad at naming things, I probably could come up with a more original name for the podcast. But what are you going to do 4.5 years in?
Not a damn thing.
Yeah. Besides, if we weren't superhero time, we couldn't have the shitty abbreviation.
Yeah, there's always
that. A good example.
Okay, let's take a look at this. This is going to be riveting podcast listening.
Totally.
And here's where the radio takes over again.
Galaxy Note advertisement.
Number stations. What on earth is this noise? Is the guy from Ancient Aliens in this?
No, but there's all kinds of conspiracy theories about it.
Hmm.
So that noise there, just people reading off random numbers being broadcast in the middle of the forest on low-frequency AM bands.
Hmm.
Uh-huh.
It's creepy as shit. And but supposedly, you know, if you had the right cipher, you could code them out and get instructions out of it if you were a spy or something.
Uh-huh.
Huh.
I mean, cut all this out. It's boring. It's not podcast worthy.
Well, that's why it's staying in.
I was saying, that's just, you should know better. Don't tell him to cut something out.
Cut all this out from the moment we started to the moment we end.
But then we don't have poop anymore.
Welcome to Superhero Time. Thanks for listening.
Best podcast ever.
It'll be our most popular episode yet. Paladin,
did
anything
in a megabyte?
Well, if I like really work at the encoding, I can probably get down to under 500K. This will be the episode of Superhero Time where the intro and outro are longer than the actual show. Paladin, did any news happen in the last week?
Yeah, a couple things, mostly little ones. We got another teaser for the Garo anime project. Mm-hmm. And it looks pretty good.
Here's hoping.
Maybe.
Just actually has to have a decent story now.
Well, Kobayashi, so there's a chance.
Kobayashi Maru, no chance.
Ooh.
I don't know. It's really hard for modern anime to be good, I think.
It's rare.
Plus, there's still the consideration that they and the kind of ruined us for Garo.
But we don't know that the anime is going to take the standard formula.
It seems to be a more of a period thing also to the extent, or some
gross
fantasy world or something like that. So
it'll be worth a look at least and see where it seems like it's going.
Yeah. I mean, I still do like some modern anime here and there, so.
Well,
JoJo.
I haven't seen JoJo yet.
Fix that.
I wouldn't really call JoJo modern either, considering it's based off a manga from like 25 years ago. So,
I thought it was based off the Dreamcast game.
Dreamcast.
All you need to know is that the first season, the ending theme is Roundabout.
Okay.
Has that mean anything to anyone?
It has nothing to do with the actual show itself, but...
You're talking about Roundabout, the Rush song, right?
The Yes song.
Yeah, Rush.
No, Yes.
Which one is it? Make up your mind!
What's the name of the band on stage?
Oh, that's
who?
I'm just gonna sit over here.
The name of the band.
Oh, that's who.
Anyway, yes, it's uncommon for modern anime to actually be good, but it's not impossible.
There's usually a couple series per year that I get into, so you never know. It could be good. Although I'm probably going to be distracted with Build Fighters.
Well, I was going to say, Build Fighters kind of hit two things at once because it was like a good Gundam series, sort of, and it was also a good anime.
Yeah.
Yeah, good Gundam series is like a 1 out of 5 prospect, right?
Well, there's 2 Gundam series starting in about 2 weeks, so hey, maybe that'll up the chances.
Or both will be terrible because of, you know, diluting the pool.
Yeah, there's that.
Yeah, looking back on it, there's a lot more Gundam series that are bad than are good.
But the ones that are good kind of make up for the ones that are bad.
Generally. Then, of course, there's 00, where only the second half of the series is actually good. I'm sorry, Ken, are you choking on one of your pork rinds?
No. I was laughing.
Because of how terrible the first season of 00 was?
Wait, the first season of 00 was terrible?
Yes.
Wow, most people have the exact opposite opinion.
I about died of boredom watching the first season.
Most people that I've seen usually think that the first season was great and the second season went off the rails.
And now, I found the second season to actually fix everything that was wrong with the first season.
Damn. I like both seasons, so.
It's okay, though, because I know better than to like Gundam Seed Destiny at all.
Yeah. It was just sad, because it like had a really good, like, first... Good, really good like, yeah. No, not even a quarter. For a really good 7 episodes, and then it just went to crap.
Gundam Seed Destiny is kind of like the Energon of Gundam series.
It starts really, really good, and then just kind of goes like, what the heck happened here?
Yeah, I mean, there's like, good premise and setup and, like, initial execution of concepts, and then it just all goes and flies out the window, and...
I mean, animation aside, I will still stick up for, like, the first quarter of Super Link. After that, they just shoot every concept they had in the foot. Let's mind
basically
everybody.
When Demolisher becomes evil again is when I check out.
Yeah. Basically.
That's what, like 11 or 12?
Actually, like I check that out when they kill Demolisher and then just brainwash him and then bring him back as another character instead of just, you know, either upgrading him or making him another character. And then they never address it.
Uh-huh.
They're like, oh, this happened. So much for character development.
But there's always that scene where Megatron stomps Scorponok's ass into the ground in, like, episode 5.
Yes.
And that's pretty good still.
Yeah.
But,
I mean, so long as you're watching Super Link where the animation was actually finished. As opposed to Energon.
I wonder if anybody's actually gone to the trouble of taking, like, Super Link footage and putting the Energon dub over it so you'd have the dub and the finished animation. And
see, I'm not sure if that's
I don't,
even
who would even bother putting forth the effort?
I don't know.
It's a terrible dub. It's a terrible show.
I'm surprised anybody put the effort into, like, finishing it for the wiki.
We should get, like, McFeely and Fort Max to team up to do this.
A Chris double team?
Y'all can have that, because that dub is trash.
Can I get involved in this? We can make it a 3-way.
Oh, yeah.
Intro quote.
Hey, with McFeely involved, you know.
But are you also going to bring Triplet on?
Triplet doesn't have anything to contribute. Which I can say that, because he doesn't listen to this show.
All right, let's talk about something exciting and fun.
Or we could go on with the news.
Yes.
Or we could talk about Super Mega Force.
No, we're talking about the movie figures. Got pictures of them now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's Legacy Power Rangers movie figures.
Okay, now
I must have them.
I may be wrong here, but these don't look good.
No,
they're fantastic. That's what they should be.
Are you
they're
sure
cheesy and that? Terrible, and everything a Power Rangers figure should be.
Oh, okay. Well, if you're gonna look at it like that, I guess.
Yes, these are American as shit.
They really are. For all that
they're
entails.
They're so single color.
That's
just like
the way they were in the movie.
No, okay. So, like, follow me here. Usually, I'm against paint washes on action figures, but I think these really need something like that to bring out all the detail of the movie suits.
That is
the thing
true.
Is, not while losing the plasticiness of them, though, because the suits looked really plasticky.
Right, you can
leave.
Does
the white one have the torn crotch?
There's not a white one yet, I don't think. Was there a picture of a white one? I thought there was only pictures of the first 5.
I thought there was one. Let me look again.
Well, Tommy's not on there. But hopefully his crotch will break.
That's really kind of surprising, considering how much they like
the. And hopefully the figure's crotch will break, too.
Considering how much they like to, you know, whore out every single Tommy Ranger,
uh-huh.
It's surprising he's not in the first wave.
Yeah.
It's surprising there's girls in the first wave.
Yeah,
or
and not
all.
Tommy.
Yeah, according to the listings, the 6th figure in the wave is Ivan Ooze.
See, like, when this was announced
yes.
originally, I was assuming that the case assortment would be, the you know, Tommy, the other 3 dudes, and Ivan Ooze as the entire case. There wouldn't actually be a girl Ranger at all. But no, it's actually completely the opposite.
Even to the
these are the first time that we've gotten toys of the movie designs.
McDonald's,
exactly, that's McDonald's
even
about
to,
these.
Even now, the McDonald's, I actually had all the McDonald's ones.
Those don't count. Those aren't toys.
They were actually, for McDonald's toys, they were actually not bad.
Like the Beast Machines Happy Meal toys?
I don't know about those. But the Power Rangers movie ones, I mean, with a really crappy, like, you know, rolling Zord thing, but the actual figures were not as bad as you would think for a McDonald's toy.
They were like Kenner Star Wars figures.
They were.
But better
That's
proportion.
Not a good thing.
But better proportion, yeah.
Well, it's a good thing compared to, you know, the majority of Happy Meal toys.
Yeah. So, yeah, I had all 6 of those as a kid. I have no idea what happened to them.
they're probably.
But yeah, I noticed
now.
They actually. I was surprised they actually gave Kimberly her, you know, specific weapon from the movie also.
The dildo.
Yeah, it's her Saints Row weapon.
I was about to say, thank you. The dildo bat.
Uh-huh.
The penetrator.
Yes.
I was thinking Violator, but that's a big tentacle sword, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, that's what she's got.
See, I had all six of those McDonald's Power Ranger movie figures. I don't have them anymore either. I do still have those six of the Burger King Pokeballs.
Priorities. Good. Are you sure the Power Rangers aren't in the Pokeballs?
No, yeah. No, it's on the belt.
That took way too long to respond to.
You can just, like, hear the gears turning. Are they in? No, they're not. No, like, it's cool that the movie suits are getting figures since, you know, 20 years on and it never happened, actually.
Yeah, the actual movie figures were just basically the Metallic Rangers.
Yeah.
We're getting toys of the movie suits before we get a toy of G1RC.
Are we?
Because, well...
Yes, because G1RC is not
when these come out.
G1RC will get canceled.
Well, I guess we'll see.
If it does get canceled, I can't wait for the Dawn Rage.
I don't think they will...
Don't be happy, because then they'll come out with one that's a headmaster.
Oh, yeah, sure.
I don't think Don will rage, because I don't think he's allowing himself to, like, accept that this is real yet. Until he actually has one. Because Don is smart and knows his heart can't take it. Because he's old,
quit playing games with his heart.
Maybe they were just waiting for him to stop asking about before they made one.
Are we there yet? No. Are we there yet? No.
These aren't supposed to come out until next year, right?
Maybe. Can never tell with some of Bandai's stuff.
Oh. What if these aren't figures based on the old movie, but based on the reboot movie?
Well, they're just going to use the same costumes, probably. Torn crotches and all.
Get them back from whatever Planet Hollywoods they're in.
Yeah, whatever.
They're just going to use footage from the old movie, but recast the non-morph scenes?
No, they're going to use the original... the first version of the movie.
Ooh.
They'll G2 the original movie.
Thrifty!
I actually would like to see them do a remastered version of the movie. Or a reversion, you know.
Oh, hey, George Lucas.
They'll reversion, but they'll reversion the first time they shot the original movie.
Some people will be into that, though, because people want to see that for some reason. Even though it was, like, reshot for a reason.
Well, some people keep clamoring for all this U2 footage, too.
Open face helmets. Dumbest idea.
An open face helmet is like an open face sandwich. A bad idea.
And switching out the actress for Jungle Lady a couple times.
A couple times?
I thought it was just once.
And then they went back to the first person.
Oh. Apparently I haven't read up on that recently enough because I don't remember that much detail. But that's what we have you for, Max.
Well, this is the general pain of the show, after all.
Well, this is what I do on RFC, so... I remember all the things everybody else can't, and that's why the show is good when I'm on.
Better, you mean?
Good, that's what I said.
No, still not quite good.
Well, it's good when I'm on, but not hosting. Even I can acknowledge that. Okay, so Christina, you showed up right in the middle of news.
Woo! I'm back again.
Are you drunk?
You sound drunk as shit.
Awesome.
No, I don't.
All right, let's go.
That's bad that both of us went there, Mickey.
That's what
well,
I was thinking, too.
I'm already there.
Drunk?
think.
So, Christina, we were just talking about the movie version Power Rangers figures.
Oh, yeah, I saw those too. Eh.
Pretty much it. Thank you.
All right. This makes up for the fact that I was gone last time because.
Starting about this point in the show, yeah.
Yeah.
If I take last week's recording and this week's recording and put them together, we'll have you for probably an entire episode's worth.
All right. Also, Ken, you're a butt.
What'd I do? Well, I think
intro
I know.
Quote already.
Yeah, I think I know what Christina's intro quote's going to be this week.
I haven't done anything yet.
Record time.
Okay, so Peldon, moving forward with the news.
Okay, a bunch of other merchandise was seen in the weeks we were off that we didn't talk about last time.
Didn't we skip this last week for a reason?
Yeah, but nothing else happened this week, so we have time to fill.
Oh, crap.
So just to be brief, Figo Arts Kiwami Arms, Figo Arts Duke, 2-pack of Figo Arts Pine Arms and Mango Arms, and Arms Change Sour Grape Arms.
Hell Grape.
Hellfruit.
Yes. Who does come with the Overlord weapons?
Yes! Oh,
cool.
So, more or less, I'm going to take that Figure Arts, just put the put Death Ryugen away, and just basically use Kiwami Arms as like, hey, he's got everything now. I don't need you, Ryugen. Yoink.
Nobody needs Ryugen.
Nobody needs Ryugen.
Nobody needs Ryugen. God damn
shit. Even the show doesn't need Ryugen anymore.
Oh, no, it does not.
No. Now we're getting ahead of ourselves. Sort of.
Yeah.
Not really.
Not really.
Not really.
Well, who else is going to are you going to have to be haunted by a ghost Big Brother?
Well, Ghost Takatora can visit anybody.
Ghost Takatora has like become one of my favorite characters. Just it's because he's like the audience mouthpiece.
Yeah, he's the only one who'll tell Mitchie how it is anymore.
Yes.
Now, Ghost Takatora will be available for weddings and bar mitzvahs.
Ghost Takatora is made of like clear plastic.
I know that's what they that's what they need to do when they get around to Figuarts Hell Ryugen. Just you know, do a Figuarts Zero Takatora in clear plastic.
just needs to happen. Like honestly, like if they have clear plastic Zangetsu, I could just imagine all these people around the world are just gonna pose Michi crying while Zangetsu just points and laughs.
By all these people around the world, you mean Gigabeetle.
Yeah, let's just not kid ourselves. Gigabeetle is practically the entire world.
Oh my. I didn't realize you thought so highly of him.
Oh no, that's just a general view of him from everybody else. All those pictures, the little hints in Toei and Gaim, Bandai is surprisingly giving him everything he wants. I think Gigabeetle controls the world in some sort of way.
We know he has influence on net videos.
He's Gigabeetle.
Yeah.
He sees all. He hears all.
Hi, Giga. I'm sure you're listening right now. Gigabeetle is the NSA.
I would not be surprised.
It explains
everything.
That might
explain a couple things.
He's actually viral marketing for Toei.
Well, he'd be really effective at it. He already is without being on the payroll.
He may have me buy a V3 and a Rider 1. Who I never would have bought otherwise.
And then he made us buy a knockoff Barbie doll to give it a dress and a wig.
Yep.
What?
When I visited Mickey a couple months ago, we tapped into our inner Gigabeetle and went and bought a $1 knockoff Barbie and cut it apart to give V3 a wig and a dress so it would be Mrs. Gigabeetle.
Yeah, we scalped Barbie.
It was kind of awesome, actually.
Yeah.
Mickey, can you tell the pictures?
If you put it, if you just cover up. I'm just thinking, you use that wig, put it in a, put it on as some sort of like stereotypical alien doll, put it in a blue leotard, you got Miss America.
Aw, Shazam.
Found it.
And Jumanji.
Yeah, Christina, go check that out.
Okay, I gotta check this out.
All the memories.
Oh my god.
Good time,
well,
thing. Good time.
It's Geek and Beetle confirmed, so.
Uh huh.
Yeah. This is. If this appears in the net in the next net movies, I'm gonna freak out.
Well, no, because we're not Giga Beetle. We're just, you know, if Giga Beetle did that, then it would appear in a net movie.
Yeah, it would. Mm. Oh well. At least we got Miss America in an extension, so that's all right.
Does Miss America really need an extension? Because from what I could tell from that one shot, she's got a lot going on down there to begin with.
That's why they covered her in long hair in the net movie, because it's distracting from the fact that, oh shit, there's this really huge crotch going on. Why does Miss America carry more balls than the rest of her team?
Hey, don't
it's not
judge.
A cock, it's Olympus Mons pubis.
Oh no!
The largest mound in the solar system.
Oh, my God.
Well.
Oh.
So, Paladin, merchandising.
I don't think I can improve on this. But we could at least try and discuss Drive's toy line.
Well, tires. Let's move on.
Right, it works kind of like the Forza 8 with module changes, where they release separate add-on armor and weapon bits instead of just single figures over and over again. But he'll get certain form upgrades as time goes on. And right now I'm just loving the names of some of these.
Alright, let's see what we got. Nope, I do kind of dig the tire sash theme.
Funky
like
spike.
Worf got hit by a car.
Massive monster.
Yes.
Oh my.
Rumble dump tire. Rumble dump tire.
Yes, indeed.
Rumble dump.
Dream
spin mixer? Is he going to scratch fat beats on his tire?
He could.
Fire braver. So he's
now,
full braver.
Fire braver, I almost misread it as fire beaver.
Wow.
Meanwhile, I see fire braver and think phone braver, and it just brings in my head, cell phones are not for burning.
Can we just go ahead and preemptively beat Paladin to the pun of burning rubber and just get it completely done with now before the show actually starts?
Done.
Okay, good. We never have to mention that again.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, not like sure. I could top burning beaver anyway.
Or, you know, massive
would you want to top a burning beaver?
Not Paladin, would you?
Intro not without mode. Protection.
Rumble dump.
Do you have to guess its name, otherwise it takes your firstborn child.
Rumble Dumpskin?
Oh no, Rumble Dump? I just thought of like
poop.
You just made the connection,
sort of,
didn't you?
But I was thinking of like I was not Rumble Dump, but I was thinking like if Transformers can poop, will Rumble be able to poop Energon?
What would Transformers excrete?
Is it like liquid Energon of some sort? Well, like in Beast Wars, they sort of explained it somewhat. In those,
I don't remember that episode.
One episode.
Well, Rhino's got gas.
Also, yeah. this poop conversation seems to have killed Ken.
Well, it's his weakness.
Mm. I'm sure Ken will be back to poop all over our day soon enough.
So set 2 features shit burning saber. Oh, shift burning solar. Sorry. The screen farted away from me and I'm...
Oh, okay.
So...
Shift Dream Pegasus. I wonder what that is.
Sailor Moon Super S crossover?
I was thinking of that Adult Swim game from like a while back about that Pegasus and you ride rainbows and whatever. I'm just thinking the moment that Drive uses that car and yells out Shift Dream Pegasus, the music from that game will kind of like blurt out.
What if it's a tire made entirely of pony hooves?
Oh, no.
That'd be kind of awesome.
You know, like how, you know, some soldiers came back from Vietnam with, you know, necklaces full of ears.
I wish Mickey wasn't talking over that, because that would be great otherwise.
Do it again.
Moo.
Good enough.
This podcast is like poison to my internet.
It's poison all over the internet.
The internet's most toxic tokusatsu podcast.
So I'm hoping Funky Spike's change music is very bassy. It's like a slap based kind of thing, like some Bootsy Collins shit going on. That would be awesome.
So will Rumble Dumps just be like a brown note?
Yes.
That would be appropriate.
Justice Hunter should be like a trumpet fanfare. Like Lord Bravery.
Lord Bravery needed his own show. Just like, you know, the whole half hour is a bunch of 1.5 minute shorts.
Being British.
Yeah, you couldn't carry a Lord Bravery for longer than about a minute at a time. Otherwise, it would just become Are You Being Served? And they already had that. So yeah, Drive will have toys.
Shocking!
And they sound names. Kind of awesome.
Well, the names sound awesome.
We'll see if the toys actually are interesting.
We'll see if the show actually is interesting.
I hope.
That's my concern.
I'm just still afraid because everything looks so good.
Yeah.
I don't know, it's kind of looking not that good to me, just because I've been so acclimated to expecting crap from things that look normal.
No, that's what I'm saying. It looks, visually it looks good, but last time that happened was Wizard.
Exactly.
Of course, you know, think of the times that things looked good before Wizard, though. Double?
Kiva?
Decade?
No, see, when I first saw Double, I thought, oh, that looks bland.
Dino.
Then I actually saw it. Well, that's going further back.
Double, the blandness of Double Suit works to its theme.
Oh,
which...
I realized that once I saw the show.
Yeah.
It just took me a while.
So it's just, it goes from being bland to, like, elegant simplicity.
Yeah.
Also, Double's the best thing ever, so you can't really say anything bad about it.
Which is better, Double or Gowanger?
Double.
I'd have to vote for Double.
Double's the best Rider series.
But Gowanger is the best Sentai series.
No. That's not how you say Car Ranger.
Ha! Well, it's all cars, right?
You keep your incorrect opinions to yourself, Format. And we won't have to change them like we change Winguses.
Hey, Christina, what opinions do you have?
I have not seen Double... and Gowanger as of yet, so come back to me sometime.
Next week, when you've watched both of them completely.
It won't take long.
Twash, I'm at school now.
You can drop out. There'll be another semester.
No, we're only looking at like 25 hours per series. You can totally fit that in.
That's like less than 2 days worth of watching.
Yeah. You don't sleep, that's all.
Look, you can set up some time with Gigabeetle and watch Double with him. But you know how well that works.
Why do I get the... Oh, no.
You know, you've only been here for like 10 minutes, and it's a little early for us to have broken you already.
It's okay. It's okay. I just...
It's not okay, because we're not going to get any more entertainment out of you if you're broken already.
No, I'm not broken. Yes,
it took until the end of that episode for y'all to break Wingus, so, I mean...
Yeah.
Ken?
Yes. I've been here too long to shush.
Yeah.
Ken, you're not a teacher. You don't have tenure.
No, but I have suffered.
Oh, it's raining.
Okay.
Yes, it's raining all day.
What the coincidence? It's raining in Canada and Tennessee. What are the odds?
Astronomical.
Meteorological. Wait, what?
What?
Have we run out of news?
That's probably the most important stuff this week.
Good, because we've run out of time.
Good night, everybody.
Are we trying this again?
You know. When in doubt.
No, Fort Max, don't step on Christina's lines. I guess we should move on to the shows then.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, yes.
Sure, why not?
So, Mickey, I assume you don't have a specific desire to talk about this episode of Tokyo Drill like you did last week.
No, it doesn't feature Tokyo 6 in a bathhouse, so no.
Right. Well, I think we were all disappointed by that. By not featuring Tokyo 6 in a bathhouse. Go, 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 go. Paladin, train.
Shit.
Ha ha. That makes all the suffering we're about to endure worth it.
And see, he's not going to pick me just because he knows I enjoyed it. I actually really like this episode, but go on.
No, that's later.
Yeah.
Shut up.
I've been holding back making jokes like that the whole night so far.
See, I didn't even try.
Yeah.
Not doing a very good job.
Well, that wasn't me. That was Fort Max.
Oh, yeah. Blame Fort Max.
I'm fine with that.
We always blame Fort Max.
Oh.
When we're not blaming Ken.
That's what I was thinking. I was like, I thought you guys always blamed Ken.
Well,
was
you
I
know...
lied to?
No, well, see, when Ken joined Fort Max moved up a rung, and...
Well, see, this was initially sold to me as Fort Max is basically DBZ abridged Krillin, so I was like, okay.
Right, but what Ken didn't realize is that when he joined, he would become Krillin.
Yeah, well, go on.
Sure.
Damn it!
Complete silence.
Yes, talk
Still
about
Still more
Trey.
Interesting than Tokyo, Jer.
Yeah, well.
Oh, well, you don't like good things, so go on.
So, Wright's upset because they're out of food, and Conductor pulls a hyper rush out of his ass, and there's a new member of the Shadow Line.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
Okay, Paladin, you're off the episode.
You know you're just giving him what he wants, right?
I don't care, because he's fucking it up.
Yeah. I watched this like 10 minutes before we started, okay?
Wright's not upset there's no food. He's just not eating because he's furious.
Yeah, I'm not used to seeing Wright so, you know, vigorously.
He's had a sudden moment of clarity and he realizes everyone around me is really, really stupid.
Yes!
I decided to become an actor and I ended up on Tokyo. Damn it. When this show ends, so is my career. Then owner comes in. With the chocolate train wrapped in gold foil.
Yes!
I could go for a chocolate train.
Is
that a poop joke?
No. No.
It is now.
No, it's...
Here
it's
comes the train. Choo-choo.
No, it's an I had egg rolls for dinner joke and I want something sweet now.
The response to what it does is basically like, well, it says hyper, so it must be something cool.
If only they knew.
Paladin, why have you suddenly switched to a phone?
I don't know. Does that help at all?
Well, I can still hear you, but yeah, that's better, I guess.
Yeah, it sounded like you were in a bucket for a second.
Yeah.
Moving the mic around by habit. I should stop doing that.
Yeah, so that's probably why you keep breaking the headsets.
Meanwhile, at the Shadow Line, we meet Granny Goodness.
Okay, right. So now I've only watched this episode without subs, so what's her deal?
Okay, she is the one in charge of all the cities that have already been completely taken over.
Yes.
So she's middle management, basically, and she's got an awesome beehive hairdo.
Yeah.
Okay, so she actually is Granny Goodness.
She is Granny Goodness, yes.
Okay.
Except she isn't voiced by Ed Asner.
No, but if they dubbed Tokyo, she totally would need to be.
Yes.
Has Granny Goodness ever fought Amanda Waller?
Oh, man.
That would be the best. That would be the best.
Waller would win somehow.
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah,
obviously.
Waller would aim to try.
But yeah, so Granny anyway.
Granny some kind of apocalypse hellfire at her, and Amanda Waller just like slap her out of the way and then bitch smack her down.
Yes. Now, this is actual, you know.
The real Amanda Waller, not the new 52 shit Waller.
Yeah, not the skinny.
Or the movie shit Waller.
Yeah. The Wall.
Anyway, her name is apparently...
Whoa, back up. Don't talk that way about Angela Bassett. She'll kick your ass.
It's not so much Angela Bassett so much as Green Lantern.
Yes.
Yeah, I have nothing against her. I just really, really hate that movie.
I don't have anything against, you know, Ryan Reynolds specifically. Just that movie was crap.
I never seen the movie, so haha.
Ryan Reynolds sure does play Ryan
Reynolds
really well.
That's why she's the smart one on the show, even though she volunteered to come on.
I know.
Have you ever seen Daredevil?
No, I haven't.
Okay, well, Green Lantern is just as terribly bad as Daredevil. So, since you haven't seen either of them, that's the perfect description I can come up with.
Okay.
But yeah, so her name, actual name is Mork, and she proceeds to, you know, immediately try to murder Zed.
I didn't even like this episode enough to make a joke about that.
As an aside, they did a really good job sculpting, like, the face and neck on that new suit.
They did?
Yeah, that mask looks really good.
It's tremendously realistic.
All of the Shadowline generals have looked really freaking good.
Yeah.
Yeah, whoever they have making costumes knows what they're doing, and they're getting their money's worth.
Yeah, never
let them go. That's a saving grace for Tokyo. The villains' designs remain pretty incredible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but since Schwartz and Rita are gone, and Schwartz probably just for now.
As well as Rita.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not so certain if she's coming back, but Schwartz, definitely.
She's been showing up in mirrors. She's going to be doing something.
Oh, yes.
Here's my theory. Episode 45, Greta eats her way out from inside Zed and becomes...
Oh.
It's just like, you know, a perpetual cycle of eating.
Yes, they never stop eating out of each other.
Oh. Well then.
Good night, everybody.
Oh my god.
Wow. I figure any goodness
is... Move on, it's back to trains. Stop training.
Challenge Zed. Zed says, okay, you done testing now? Great. Let's get down to business. And I forget what the hell business they were talking about, but it was dull. So let's go on down to Shadowtown, where the Tokyos immediately meet Bishop Monster, who is surprisingly lame.
Sadly, does not have a giant gun and a tattoo over his eye.
He also has a multiple personality disorder.
Yeah, this is probably the first big miss Tokyo has had with villain design, where he just looks completely generic.
Well, in fairness, though, this episode does have another focus later on. So, the monster is there, but he's kind of not even the focus of the episode. He's just sort of there to fight. It's something to destroy.
So, since they're in a Shadow Town, they only transform for 30 seconds of time. So, you go to the thing where one person uses all the trains.
Which is...
so.
Interesting concept.
I kind of like this. It puts the line switching to something useful plot-wise.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So Wright heads out first, and he's not doing very well.
To which
we find out very quickly that, he's got a cold. And he's been trying to fake being angry to hide the fact that he feels like shit.
On the other hand, most people just act that way when they feel bad naturally.
Yeah, this is true.
What I love about this is you never see anybody on a TV show just get sick with a random cold.
No, you don't.
No.
Ever, they're always perfectly healthy all the time. Nope, but this one time he just has the common cold and he sucks.
What about that time the Power Rangers went to visit Masked Rider and Kimberly stayed home with a cold?
Is that the one where she sneezed through her helmet?
Yes.
Yes.
And made the monster sick in the process.
It was actually the flu.
Was that because...
Not just a wimp-ass common cold.
Yeah, well...
Well, still, it's still just, you know, random sickness, though.
It was... Amy Jo Johnson does not want to interact with anybody. A.K.A. Season 3 in general.
Oh, yeah.
God.
Yeah.
I don't blame her, honestly. I never did. If you were hanging out with four idiots on that for more than one occasion, you're kind of like, I kind of want to fake a cold to not work with them today.
Four idiots and JDF.
Yeah.
Who's in his own special category?
Yeah, he is.
They should have said, like, you know, Kimberly and Billy and Vulcan Skull spin off into their own subplots.
Well, that kind of was the plot of the taxi wheelchair monster episode. Kimberly and Bulk and Skull trapped inside the monster.
We covered that already, right?
We either covered it or we don't care enough to cover it, so yes.
Yes.
Damn.
Okay, so back in Tokyo, Drew. They run away. And as they run away, they get separated because this town's darkness apparently confuses what you see with what you're actually doing. It's not terribly well explained, but they get separated.
It makes you think, it makes you run explained. Like you're drunk.
Yeah. Well, I like how the, you know, fully taken over towns do have a different effect on what's going on too. Beyond
yeah,
just
it's sort of interesting. So Akira ends up with Wright and he says, okay, well just hang tight. I'm going to go play a rad tune and lure everyone back together.
And it's kind of like, isn't that suicidal? And he's like, yeah.
And then Wright has, there's this great little bit of dialogue where Wright says, no, I'll come with you. You don't need to worry about me. And he's like, yes, you're right. I don't need to worry about you. Stay here. Bye.
Six is the best.
Yeah.
Again, we don't blame him.
Akira provides a very good change up to the dynamics, I think.
He's actually like partly grounded.
Well, not just that, but you know, everybody already knows each other. They're friends and whatnot. They know what each other is going to do. Akira, you never know what the hell he's going to do.
Yes.
Well, sometimes there's a harmonica. You can predict that part.
Well, yes, and sometimes it might rain, but...
And other times he's going to say that it's a perfect place to die.
Yes, but I mean, like, actually...
So he's part Klingon, right?
Possibly.
So basically, like, his day-to-day process goes, like, okay, I'm in this city, it's great, it's raining, this is it, I'm going to die. Akira! Fuck, it's not these guys again! Why do you keep following me in every city? I keep traveling all
like,
over the place.
More like he follows them.
Yeah, it's one of the charms of Six where he's like, he doesn't realize he's following them.
He doesn't realize anything. He's in a completely different reality from the rest of the show.
Which is great. But yes, harmonica playing.
Yeah, so he gathers everyone back together. But his harmonica playing actually attracts the monsters too. Surprise!
So he has a good way. He has a very good way around the whole transformation problem.
Yes, he goes back to his monster form,
which is kind of awesome because he stays in there for the entire rest of the fight.
So before he can wrap things up on his own, the Tokujers show up to slow the fight down.
So of course they send Tokati out. Because that's going to be a good idea.
Well, you know, you don't use your super weapon at the very beginning of the fight. You throw out your pawns.
So, yeah.
Exactly.
Holy Hikari.
Okay, so in this metaphor, who's the super weapon?
Kagura.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, come on. Yep. It's like, you know...
One thing that bothered me about this at the start, they were giving the hyper rusher to Wright because they said he had... the most imagination, but she tested the highest on that thing, didn't she?
Yes, but she's also insane. So let's not give it to the one that's crazy.
Do you want her with that much power? Do you really want her with that much power? Come on.
Might be fun.
Well, it's set up in such a way that it's like the black box in Shinkenger, where I imagine anybody can probably use it.
Yeah.
Which means Mia will get it all of one time in the series.
Well.
Share your toys with the kids that you don't like now.
Well, in fairness, Mio's a lot better in terms of ability.
It doesn't matter, she's still yellow.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. Kind of like how Luca was the character with the least amount of focus episodes in Gokaiger.
Even though she was the better character out of everyone, sort of. Well, yeah, she was one of the best ones.
Luca's character is actually kind of strong enough to carry herself without a focus episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She is. And because, you know, she does a good way of, you know, standing out on her own regardless.
Well, yeah.
And
I
another
mean,
reason Gokaiger was such a fantastic series.
No, but like Ken points out she didn't have that many focus episodes. I'm like, really? She didn't? I didn't even realize.
Like,
last
focus episode is like in the mid 30s.
No, but I mean, you don't realize she didn't really have focus episodes because she just. She is a presence in everybody else's.
Well, she is equivalent to, you know, Joe and Marvelous in terms of actual, you know, competency.
Action speaks louder than words. Four episodes.
If Joe did not have focus episodes, his character would have been extraordinarily boring.
And if I'm didn't have focus episodes, her character would become very trite, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm.
So, yeah.
Luca did not really need focus episodes to have a character.
No. We got her background, and that's really all you kind of needed.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway,
and she was entertaining. Yeah, back here.
Gokaiger is
Greta and Zed show up. Not Greta.
Granny Goodness.
Yeah.
Morg, whatever the hell her name is.
Granny Goodness. Let's just keep calling her that.
Yes. Because it's accurate.
Yeah, so Granny Goodness and Zed show up to stop the fight from continuing and ending the episode early. We cut over to Wright wandering through the alleyways, and he sees some kids putting graffiti in the wall, and he has this vague revelation of what imagination is actually for. And the best I can puzzle out what's going through his head right now is that they've been just imagining kicking people's asses, but imagination in a better form is imagining a positive future and happiness and dreams, and they've sort of been neglecting that in favor of just beating the shit out of people.
That's actually kind of a good point, because it's like, I'm going to imagine myself beating you into the ground. This is a great message for children.
So I guess Wright realizes his imagination has gotten kind of brutal and dark.
A little bit. So what's he going to go do? He's going to go beat the shit out of somebody.
Yes. Now he's remembered to imagine a better future where he can beat the shit out of people more efficiently than ever before.
Oh. Yes! The perfect analogy.
He's imagining a better future through ass-kicking.
Yes! Violence will solve our problems.
He is Megatron.
Which Megatron?
He's through tyranny.
Oh, that one. Yeah, okay, why not?
Isn't
so, just as the Tokijers are getting their butts kicked, Wright races onto the scene, and choo-choo, here comes the train. And as dumb as his power-up has looked in all the shots, in action, it's kind of fun.
Okay, and I like it, because it is very simple. But consider last year, we had freaking Kyoryu Red Carnival.
That looked a lot better than this, I think.
Are you freaking kidding me? That thing
was
awful!
You didn't like Carnival?
That Carnival looked terrible.
I loved Carnival.
Carnival
was
like
fun.
The most Carnival was the most toyetic power-up to never have a toy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a total Bandai of America, you know, super mode toy. Carnival.
Although, I mean, we'll get one with Dino Charge.
That's kind of awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It never caught on fire.
But I really like simpler super modes as opposed to the more elaborate ones. So,
well, I'm fine with simpler, but as far as design wise, this doesn't do a lot other than putting a Monopoly train piece over someone's shoulder.
That's what I was thinking too when I saw it. I was like,
yeah.
There's a difference between simple design and lazy design. Hyper Tokyo 1 is the latter.
Nah, I like it. Mm-hmm.
But where it comes together, though, is that his attacks are actually kind of fun because it basically turns him into a human train.
Yes!
Where he can charge and, you know, shove things around and, like, steam comes out of his shoulder, which is amazing.
It's still a waste not having it on his head.
It is, but at least he does have smoke coming out of some hole in his body.
The resulting fight scenes are really freaking good, too.
Well, that's another thing Tokyuji really has going for in general is the fight choreography.
Mm-hmm.
And that shows here just as much as anything. There's some really good fight choreography in next week's episode. Well, next week that we're going to talk about.
Right.
In 2 weeks, probably. Right. Never mind. In the episode after this one, there's some good fight choreography.
Okay, good.
Okay, so as Wright kicks ass while wearing his train costume, Zed steps in saying, "Oh God, you're so shiny, it's making me very erect. I better take off my shirt."
What?
And so, I think we kind of skipped over this because we skipped over these episodes, but Zed's monster form is pimp as shit.
Yes, it is.
He is shirtless and wearing a goddamn feather boa.
Yes.
It's he's like Kogami sexy Kogami monster. Monster.
Oh my.
Yeah, yes.
Who knew something that good would come from pairing up him and Gruta?
It's like the Kogami Dopant.
Yes.
Yes. I get the Kogami Gaia memory.
Yeah.
It's not shaped or designed like a normal Dopant memory. It's got the texture of one of its suits instead.
Yeah.
Feather trim.
And the symbol on it is cake.
Of course. Can't you imagine just that monster form going Tsubashi?
And instead of Maximum Drive, it's Happy Birthday.
Yeah. Somebody make this a thing.
But yeah, especially the part where, you know, Wright and Zed trade blows there is really well done.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So Pimpmaster Zed and Wright, after they do their kung fu moves, go into full on Dragon Ball Z aura battling.
Although I like the fist punching myself, honestly. That had to be probably hard to set up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wright basically said, "I've had enough of this. I'm going to invent a new power off the top of my head."
Yes.
And he pulls out the pump-action train shotgun.
He imagines a shotgun.
For the betterment of the future.
Of course.
Yes.
A it's better future through shooting people with trains.
With parents is shotgunning people.
Yes. Yeah. A better future through firearms.
So he loads the holy golden train into his shotgun and chick, 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 blam, fires a train through Zed.
Or tries to, anyway.
This is basically saying, "Hey, America, please buy our show. Buy our show. Buy our show. We got shotguns."
Yeah, but the gun toys always get screwed over here, so.
Yeah.
Is that kind of ironic, really?
No. They could always put an orange cap on it. There you go.
Sometimes they have to do more than that. Have you seen the Gokai gun? Yes, exactly.
The American
on
Galleon
the other hand,
Buster.
the American Gabu revolver.
Yeah,
but
well, we'll see how
so,
that actually.
But it looks so but it looks so distinctly not a gun. They could get away with it.
Yeah, true. Anyhow, Cho-Cho.
They're gonna make it pink too.
So we also miss that, but Cho-Cho, Tokyo,
Super Duper.
Super Duper is just does not quite get across the lameness of it. In the proper way.
No, it's Choo Choo Tokyo Dayo.
Exactly. This is one case where actually translating it almost ruins the joke.
Yeah.
Because it just does not carry through.
Take it up with heat, I assume?
I'm not going to complain about it, but...
Anyway, so Monster Grows Big, we get Super Tokyo-O, and Smashy Smashy is defeated in a spectacularly go-bustery, clumsy finisher.
Yeah, that's what I love about it.
All right, now, guy in the suit,
things onto
hold
it.
This telephone pole and act like it's a sword that you can actually hold up.
Yes. Okay, boss. Sure, whatever.
It's probably not even that. It's probably just get in the suit, keep the limbs stiff, we'll do the rest with wires.
Are you sure about this, sir? Yes, don't worry. You will get paid for it. Is it covered by my insurance?
That G12 kick is still amazing.
The suit actor is really just like a support frame inside, and everything else is done puppeteer style.
Mostly.
Except for the fire.
Oh, yes. Well, the light is on fire, too.
It's okay. You've got like 4 feet of suit between you and the fire. You'll be fine.
How quickly does that suit burn? Well,
foam rubber's fire retardant, right?
Go on.
Next week, everybody, you'll be working with live acid. Don't worry. It's going to be 10 feet away from you, so you're going to be just fine.
Also, you need to sign this waiver. No, just sign.
Please sign this waiver.
And don't forget the goggles, people.
Goggles?
Goggles, what do they do?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Anyway, so monsters defeated, and the Tokyos go back home to the train, and Wright has infected them all with herpes. Or the flu, I don't know. It's the same thing, I'm sure.
Oh, like they're that different.
I'm not a doctor, don't ask me. The point is they're all dying, and it's Wright's fault.
And Akira is jealous. Because he's not dying.
So, hooray, Tokuger.
Yes, it was good.
Consistently right. Solid.
I think from now on, you and Ken are going to double-team every Tokuger episode.
Oh, yeah.
Because that actually kind of worked. I kind of liked how that went.
Yeah.
Because we can get excited about it because we enjoy it.
Yes, we enjoy it.
I mean, I just make Paladin do it because it causes him pain, so...
But then that causes me pain, and I can't have that.
Yes. Likewise.
If it's causing Paladin pain but not bothering me, sure, why not?
After all.
But right, my discomfort is more important than his discomfort.
Quite.
Of course.
I kind of got all British armchair pipe smoking about it. Quite, yes. Bully, bully, bully.
That's an intro quote.
Say.
My word.
Are you two Statler and Waldorf now?
I'm not sure we hate things quite enough at the moment.
Really?
I was thinking more of that old cartoon that got the mustache titled His Adventures Around the World. I want to say it's like a Rocky and Bullwinkle short, but I don't think it actually was.
I don't think so. I don't actually remember what you're talking about, so... Anybody at all?
Trains are getting better, I think.
Well, I don't know about
so
that.
Game.
Yeah, let's
yeah,
just
I
go.
Get that the thing. What?
Fruits.
Oh.
Yeah. Go with
I guess
fruit.
That's the sound of Ken volunteering.
Is it?
It is now.
Uh-oh. Sure. Okay.
Well, what, you think I'm going to let Paladin do it after what he tried to do with Tokuger?
Okay, so...
Paladin, you got to have your broccoli before you can have your fruit salad.
Okay, so it's Gaim 44, correct? Yes.
Woo-hoo!
So,
sorry.
Pico and Chucky, I can never remember her name, right? Chucky?
It is Chucky.
Chucky, uh-huh. Okay.
I actually had to check earlier. I'm like, who is this? All right.
They're running through the rain, the pressing rain that's just randomly occurring because...
Oh, so that's why Akira can find his rain today.
Yeah, it's in Gaim. they randomly just happen across a, you know, dying Kota.
And as you do.
Yeah.
Somehow they're
still on the bed of feathers.
Yes, still
it's
in the
very ominous lighting.
Well,
know.
Where are the feathers going to go? I mean,
yes.
Well, if you're lying dying somewhere or something, you want to be on something soft.
Yes, of course.
Yeah,
so
but most of those feathers fell around him though.
Honestly,
so,
like, honestly, just the fact that he's just lying, like, when the fact that Michi just like places him there without like doing anything,
well,
any Invis could have walked in and it would have immediately turned into a snuff film.
Yeah, pretty much. They're able to carry his dead weight off somehow. But meanwhile, Mai is continuing her journey through the decade and ends up
She's looking through Ternay's black history.
Yes, basically.
So.
this could go many different ways. She ends up in the opening scene to Gurren Lagann. I mean the opening scene to Gaim, where...
Don't be silly. Gaim didn't have a spaceship.
It's not something I ever thought was actually...
Yes, it did.
No, it did. Wait.
Where did Ryoma go when he blasted off the stage?
Some shitty rundown hospital, apparently.
Yeah. But anyway, much like I thought this was going to turn out like that first scene in Gurren Lagann, where it actually never occurred. But it doesn't occur, sort of, because Mai is now kind of going through time and space and seeing alternate things. But
so, tiny, whiny fruit.
She's gone over time and space.
Honor of my, damn it.
So the thing is, everything is grayed out except for Kaito and Kota, because those were the people that could have possibly earned the golden fruit. But of course, Takatora is dead, and Ryugen is Ryugen.
Eliminated. He's out of contention at this point.
He is very well out of contention, leaving only Kaito and Kota. Has the only people that are apparently worthy of gaining the fruit. And Mai's going to be stuck there watching that until one of them does. Whoops.
Oh. Well, that was kind of a bad move all around, wasn't it?
Good job, Mai.
Pretty much.
You tried. Gold star, but...
Oh, yeah,
Infinity Gauntlet to Mai.
Oh, no.
She doesn't know how to use it. Meanwhile, Kaito and Minato with her stolen goods come down to the hospital room to see Mai's body just vanishing. Whoops. Good job, Michi.
Great. Well. First we find out Kota is actually made of feathers. Now we find out Mai is made out of dust. Tune in next week to see what goes inside and what's inside Michi.
Possibly the answer may surprise you.
If I were to guess, I would say Michi's full of shit.
Oh, now you've spoiled the surprise.
Well, sorry, I saw 45 already.
Let's be honest. Who wouldn't want to treat Michizane like a pinata?
Well, sadly, but no, half a Tumblr probably still.
Yes. So they're like, what the F? And then Sakura's like, she's been like, hey, yo, yeah, she went to a parallel reality. And then Kaito just says, you know, start making sense. And then everybody in the audience just laughs.
How is that the thing that makes least sense in the series so far?
Makes sense, damn it. Did you not hang out with the Dimension Hopper last week?
I don't know. I can actually wrap my head around it. For some reason, I'm not sure why, but I can. It's just, you know, parallel realities. You're kind of used to that in Kamen Rider at this point, considering Gaim's already had one, and Decade was entirely based on them.
Exactly.
Yeah,
the crazier
Michi gets, the less conditioner he uses.
Yeah. Yeah. He just stops washing it all.
No, that's the real tragedy of Suwame City. The shortage of conditioner where everyone's hair starts to fall out of place.
Yeah. Like,
I mean,
it's all frizzy.
Kaito is like the main victim of it all.
Yeah, he's starting to look very frizzy, like he hasn't slept in a few weeks, and it's just been an hour since he became an overlord. So
those rubber suits are terrible on your hair.
So me on Tuesdays.
I like how Kaito just asked what he was up, and Sakura's just like, oh, she's the woman at the beginning. You know what that means, I hope. And they're just like, dude.
What?
Yeah.
What? We don't know this. We're Japanese. Nope. We don't know this biblical allegory bullshit
Kaito
you're talking about.
Kaito does get it. He realizes that somebody has to win.
They've probably watched enough Ultraman to figure it out.
Yeah.
Well, they certainly couldn't have got
right.
from
Nobody
watching
watches
even...
Ultraman.
They certainly
Meanwhile,
couldn't have got from watching Evangelion.
Meanwhile, in case you were feeling any sympathy for Mitsuzane last week, he's like, oh, she doesn't exist anymore. She might as well be dead. And Kaito's like, you mother piece of crap.
I almost thought this was going to be that scene in The Godfather with the kiss of death. And Kaito catches kind of, nope, I'll change my mind.
Really?
I'm not going to be, no, I'm.
I
no,
can't, I ain't going to kiss. I'm not kissing him.
No matter who you are, no matter which way you swing, who wants to kiss that? Rick.
Well, you know, to be fair, he does have blood streaming out of his mouth. That's kind of a turnoff for anybody.
This is true.
Yeah.
That's true.
Also, the fact that he looks like a petulant 7-year-old, you know, doesn't really help.
not to mention...
No, he doesn't look like one. He acts like one.
Okay, yeah. I'm going to say this. I think Kaito really dodged a bullet here because they left Michi alone for several hours with Mai's dead body. Who knows?
Ew! Why did you go there?
Oh, wow. Okay.
Because that's way too
believable.
Honestly,
I'm kind of surprised none of us went there.
I had to go there. I had to go there. None of you five went there, and I'm surprised.
I kind of ruled it out because Michi was just too broken at that point.
Yeah, pretty much.
Even when you're broken, it still wouldn't stop you.
We'll take your word for it, Christina.
Moving on, Kaito knows exactly what he's going to do. So he just marches off to do just that. Meanwhile, Kota is sleeping it off. Because apparently, that's actually literal, because he's healing very quickly.
I like how his stomach wound is healing, but his entire face shows no signs of it.
Well, you know, his body knows how to prioritize.
Oh, come on, that face sells! He's got a photo book to promote. What the hell?
I'll get patched up eventually.
Yeah.
But you just haven't cleaned him. That's the problem.
So in his sleep, Kota gets a visit from Mai, and she's very fatalistic. It's like it's all gonna be over. Everything is done. We're all going to die. I'm so sorry. Which is basically the summation of her message. Mm-hmm. But Kota is Kota and is much more optimistic than that.
I don't believe in fate. The truly powerful do their own destiny. So, sorry, but you're wrong. I'm sorry, Mai. I'm sorry you have to go through this. I'm not really, because this is actually your fault. So...
But, you know, it's Kota. He's not going to, you know.
He didn't basically say it. He more or less assumed it. You have to, like, it's not about what's being said on text. It's the subtext behind the conversation.
In fairness, though, it's really Michi's fault.
Yeah. Yeah.
What is it at this point?
Basically. Kota's, yeah, so Kota is Kota, and he's going to Kota. Meanwhile, there's Minato and...
I think the script for that scene was just written as Mai says stuff, Kota says stuff for about 5 minutes or so.
That's how it felt like.
Just ad-lib it.
So Minato and Kaito have a reprise of their scene from a couple episodes ago in the rain, basically. Which is really all
their scene in pretty much any episode they're together.
Lately, yes.
I'm really kind of disappointed with how they've handled Yoko thus far.
Overall, we'll get to that next week.
It could have been a lot worse. Remember
that.
It gets worse.
Tune in next week to find out.
Yeah.
But yeah, she wants the banana. That's basically the sum of it.
I want to embrace the banana. I will watch over the banana. I will have the banana.
Meanwhile, the other...
I like plantains.
Yeah. Meanwhile, the... they're bigger. had to. So meanwhile, the
armor is just the same armor, but it's just like it's sized up 30%.
Yes. the third string riders come across Minato and Kaito, and immediately Oren reads the situation just like that, just by looking Kaito's eyes, which I love. And he's like, you, it's only been like half a day, but you were a very different man than when we last saw you. So he is not the least bit surprised. Well, he's a little bit surprised when he summons Invis. While Zack sits there and is about to crap his pants, Oren steps up, has a little tussle with Minato, which is
really cool.
That was awesome.
What's awesome about this is Minato comes in and kicks ass, and Oren doesn't even like submit. He immediately goes on karate mode, countering shit.
I understood that.
Yeah, me too.
He's not fighting against a woman.
Mickey, are you also in the parallel reality?
Yes, Asylum.
Why?
It's okay, you get used to that.
This shit doesn't need to happen when I'm talking about my man Oren.
Yeah, so if you want to repeat...
Would you like to do over there?
Yes, what's great is that Minato comes in starting to kick ass, and he doesn't even miss a beat about trying to pull punches or anything because it's a girl, because he knows that she's a badass.
Oh, yeah.
And he's a professional, and he's here to be a badass, too.
Yeah. Yes. And he is.
They're acting as gender equals, which is very cool.
Yeah. And another thing that's cool is that once Oren pulls out his lock seed, like, Jonouchi also does not actually miss a beat. He just steps right up to him and next to him.
Part that you see, like, really clearly here is that Bravo has his own secondary rider.
Yeah.
Even though he still can't fight worth a damn.
Well, but that's why he's a secondary.
He had character growth. He's grown a pair. He's not a simpering little joke anymore. I mean, he still sucks, but
he's not brave now. He's actually any good, but he still tries.
His nuts dropped, that's all.
Yeah. Yes, they did. But so basically Bravo has to carry this entire fight all on his own.
Oh, yeah, of course. So
against two Invis and Minato.
Thankfully, he can kind of do that.
And basically, it's impressive that they do not get completely murdered immediately, because he's fighting Kaito, Minato, and two Invis, while Zack just stands around gawking.
Here's the way David put it to me. The reason why Bravo can do all this shit on just a regular driver is because he is a trained professional badass. Mm-hmm. Everyone else, they're just amateurs, just sort of winging it, doing it with what they've learned. He knows things. He knows how to kill people.
Aside from Yoko,
exactly. This is like the fact that Bravo just has only the regular driver. Like,
he's only ever had one lock seed.
Only one lock seed. It's like, okay, and he's taking down like one person who has a Genesis driver, two Invis.
Okay, even better than that,
freaking Kaito.
He has only one lock seed, but he stole so many others, and he never bothered to.
Doesn't use it. It's like, no, I'm sticking with Durian. So,
well, imagine if he did use them up when he summoned all those Invis, and then one of them ate them all.
Yep.
Yeah.
Imagine if Oren had a Genesis driver, he'd be unstoppable.
Yeah. Now, and of course, the only reason he he still might have lost otherwise, but the only reason he definitely loses is because Zack transforms and then turns on them.
Yeah.
You dick.
Because he still thinks Kaito's his friend.
Yeah, we'll get that. So anyway, Greedon and Durian lock seeds and drivers get screwed. Whoops. No more Bravo and Greedon.
Which sucks, but it's kind of necessary for the show plot. We need to eliminate all these wild cards and narrow it down to just the stars.
Yeah.
This could mean they actually survived the show, though, even if they're not writers anymore.
Yeah. I would say that's likely, since all they did was take away their powers. Yes.
Which means there's still time for that Oren Ornex spinoff of them just baking.
And in fairness...
You say baking. Do you mean like pastries? Do you mean like just getting high?
Yes.
Baking pastries. Come on.
What is good about this, though, is the fact that in spite of you know, them being taken down. It does take Overlord Kaito to take Orin down.
Mm-hmm.
And even better than that, Kaito actually has a sword now, which is great because he's been using weapons like swords all series.
Except he's still holding the sword wrong.
Wouldn't it be great if this lance
well,
has a edge
Kaito.
To it?
What do you expect anything different?
You think that being Invis Kaito, he would finally learn how to hold a weapon?
No,
right?
He retained who he was, remember?
Yeah, it's still Kaito's mind.
If he lost himself, you know, then maybe he'd use it right. But no, he retained who he was down to every point.
Oh, God.
Now, isn't that Demushu's sword?
No, Demushu's sword was like this big, huge stone thing.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Orin and Jonouchi lose their powers, but they do survive. They are sent off to, you know, give Kota and the others a warning. Which is Kaito's going to destroy the world, basically.
It's an invitation to Kota.
Yeah.
So, okay, question for y'all. Is Kaito's motivation here entirely his own, or is it a result of being infected by Helheim?
No, it
was entirely out of his own, because...
Here's an even better question. Is he actually aiming to do this, or... is he setting this up so everything can end? Because everything won't end until one of them is defeated.
45 kind of implies that.
Like he actually wants to lose?
No, he doesn't want to lose. He just wants a resolution to what's going on, whether it's him coming out on top or Kota.
So yeah.
This is honestly like it's been answered in 45 based on the conversation he has between himself and Mai. So
yeah, well we'll get to that next week.
Next week.
Yes, here now Kota goes
here, the episode we're discussing.
Yes, Kota goes to confront Kaito, and Kaito actually goes banana. He wants a dramatic reveal, apparently.
No, well that and it fits with the way Kaito's brain works where he's not going to use any more power than he has to.
Because that's true strength.
Yeah. To Kota's credit, he does still try to talk sense into Kaito while Zack and Minato just stand there and watch. And he does give a look to Zack like, dude, seriously? But also, Kota does not go, you know, full power either, although he rarely does. But he does just go to orange because he's still trying to figure out, like, yo, Kaito, what the hell are you doing, man? They fight, but eventually he does go Kachidoki. He uses the DJ gun, blasts Baron down.
One shot.
Yeah.
Which isn't that difficult if you think about it.
Then he untransforms. Whoops.
Yeah, do you know how easy it is to bruise a banana?
Do I?
So, you know, Kaito's, you know, had a lot of practice on the ground, but he gets back up pretty good. That's not even a euphemism. He gets his butt kicked a lot. Remember, that was the running joke.
Is that a euphemism?
Yes. Well,
A lot of practice on the ground, gets his ass beat on it.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a euphemism? A euphemism.
But then he stands up and smirks and turns into his overlord form. And, you know, Kota looks like he's about to crap a brick.
There's no way I can penetrate that much rubber.
Well, at least it's safe now.
So he goes. He's like, you know, dude. I thought you were going to save the world. It's like I could let you have the damn fruit.
You know, if Kaito actually listened to Kota a little bit more, that could have happened. And he goes, maybe I should have played nice. Nah, this is much fun. This is more fun.
No, hey, but then everybody would be screwed. We can see
exactly. It's just like how what Plankton said in SpongeBob SquarePants: being evil is more fun. So there, Kaito is just the Plankton of the series.
Yeah, and there is a difference also inherently between Kota and Kaito here, where Kaito is talking about Mai like she's a trophy.
Yeah, and that's like an ongoing theme.
Yeah, whereas Kota is just like he just wants Mai back. It doesn't matter in what context that is. He just, Mai is his friend. He's the only friend that has not been, you know, completely turned to something terrible.
There's a subtle difference, though, is that Michi refers to Mai as a trophy as Mai.
Yeah.
When Kaito is talking about Mai as a trophy, he's calling the golden apple Mai now.
Yeah, yeah. That's true.
He doesn't see Mai as a person. He sees Mai as literally the golden apple that happens to look like somebody he used to know.
Right. Mm-hmm. Whereas Kota is the only one that is just like, dude, she's a person still.
But I mean, there's the whole, like, it's the ongoing thing anytime Kaito talks about Mai ever since DJ Sagara explained what had happened, where it's all about he's going to possess her. That's his out. That's his final goal because she has the fruit.
Right.
And it all becomes about possession of this person.
Right. Anyway, it looks
the
like
the difference is. I'm sorry. It's just that he's using language of treating a woman like an object.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, he's treating an object like an object that happens to look like a woman.
See, kind of because
he has
right.
no interest in her as a human being or as a physical form or as a lady or anything. He just wants the power of the golden apple.
Right. So yeah. It doesn't really necessarily. It could have been anybody, and he.
It could have been a dude, and he'd be using the same language.
Yeah, it could have been dude. It could have been. It could. Yeah. It could have been.
Anybody. Like it shoved it into like you know, I don't know, Peiko. Peiko.
and make him actually matter to the story.
Exactly.
Make someone actually care about him for the first time since he almost got beat to death.
Oh wow! Yeah.
Oh wow!
What people care about him?
Not really.
Oh, no. Okay.
So anyway,
nobody even remembers he got beat
and,
to death almost.
It's almost a replay of where he was fighting Michizane, although he does actually try a little bit more against Kaito this time. But the wound is not fully healed, and that is interfering with him. So Zack starts to go in to beat on Kota and tells him to get the hell out of there. So he, quote-unquote, beats Kota until he can conveniently escape. And he's just like, oh man, sorry, Kaito, my bad.
And Kaito's pissed, but to my surprise, he didn't, like, go and break Zack's belt for it. Because I was actually expecting Kaito
to
just get...
Yeah, that kind of would have been par for the course to knock out all the extra riders in one episode.
Well, I was just expecting Kaito to get pissed at him for interfering in the fight and be like, you know... You don't deserve to have this power anymore. And
yeah, but it is not.
And we lost other Chris.
Oh.
Oh darn.
Well, go on.
Well, that's mostly the episode because Kota does end up escaping.
Mm-hmm. And that's where the cliffhanger happens.
Yep. Next week, unsurprisingly, is more Kota versus Kaito.
Sort of.
Well, more like a quarter of the episode. Yeah. But yeah, sort of.
Well, it's still just that same kind of thing with how they structure the preview and structure the episode. And
yeah.
I wonder if she's coming back.
Don't know what happened.
She's abandoned us again.
Also, thank you, Acer, for reminding me that, yes, Japan got Smash Brothers early. Stupid Japan.
That's fine. We'll get a second.
Oh, before Europe, at least. Yeah. And before Australia.
Even Europe gets it before Australia.
Damn. I cannot be a gamer in Australia and keep my sanity.
Well, ask Dan how he does it.
Doesn't he
import everything from Japan?
Yes. He probably imports the systems and the games.
Yeah, you probably barely notice with everything down there trying to kill you.
Okay, let's take a break and see if we can get Christina back in the meantime.
Right.
You've got your sunrise. You caught a prize. You're mating your Johnson. Party nights, summer whites. You, your friends, and your Johnson. Rooster tails, water trails. You, your kids, and your Johnson. Saturday nights, distant lights. You, your girl, and your Johnson.
You and your Johnson, a way of life for over 50 years.
You're listening to Superhero Time.
Although I do have the demo.
I'll be back in just a second.
How is it?
I like it a lot.
It's is Smash Brothers on a handheld.
Yep. No, I like it a lot. They really
They buffed out Mario and Link so that they're improved over their Brawl versions a lot.
Fort Max, did you get a
I was
demo
never
code?
Serious about Smash. I was always a casual.
Yeah, I'm mostly a casual, but I have enough friends that are a lot more serious about it, so I know these things. I still kill myself constantly with Pikachu, though, so that I'm never playing with Pikachu ever.
Fort Max, did you get a demo code?
Yeah.
Cool.
I'm not sold on the villager yet, but I really like Mega Man.
Mega Man's great. I love Mega Man's Final Smash.
Yes!
It's the best thing.
The problem with Mega Man's Final Smash, it is really easy to scrub it, and I just waste it.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I had to learn how to, like, actually make it work when I wanted it to.
Yeah, it's not like Mario's, which is basically get out of the freaking way.
No, you actually have to get there right next to someone and
Because it is very easy to avoid, also.
Yeah, if you are playing with somebody who's focused on mobility, you'll probably never actually launch that successfully.
Yeah.
So, I assume the demo is just basically a versus match?
It's a two-minute versus match.
One level with five playable characters.
So, have they said anything about... Is there to be any kind of adventure mode or any kind of single-player mode of substance?
Yes.
Or is it okay, there is? Okay,
and
good.
3DS version, and there is going to be a bigger kind of event, such thing in the Wii U version. Because the Wii U version is also going to have entirely different stages. But there is also, there's the Smash Run option on this, and there's also an All-Star mode where you basically play through... starting like in the early 80s with the arcade characters and work your way up into like the 2013 where it has like the Fire Emblem Awakening characters.
Okay. I wonder why they bothered to give the Wii U version different levels because it isn't waste of money since no one's ever going to play it.
Well, I think if anything, they're all the people who
bought the Wii U for Mario Kart.
Yeah, if anything is going to sell you Wii
U. There's dozens of them out there.
If anything, actually... The Wii U, when I went to Best Buy today, because I was actually thinking, I should go ahead and pick one of those up. I might as well. And then I was like, this is the only system that they didn't have any of.
Mario
Kart.
It's because you went to Best Buy, and Best Buy will not carry anything you actually want to purchase.
Also, even when they do have something you want to purchase, there's nobody there to sell it to you.
Yep. Before Mario Kart, they had plenty of Wii U's. Now,
and then Ben gets really angry and...
But regardless, the 3DS Smash stages are mostly based on handhelds, while the Wii U ones are going to be on the console versions.
Yeah, people are breaking their 3DSs over Smash.
Well, I've seen people...
They have ham hands.
Circle pads fall off, apparently.
Yeah.
What are they doing through their freaking systems? You don't need to jostle the damn thing. Just move it.
Yeah.
I'm suddenly having flashbacks to Mario Party on N64.
Why?
Luckily,
scarring their hands when doing the damn.
If you have any problems with the controls early on, the full version, because I've been watching a lot of stuff from the not leaks, but the release in Japan. The full version, the controls are completely customizable.
Yeah, I've heard that too.
Yeah.
I would like the demo better if I could use the D-pad for movement, but...
You can't, though.
No?
I don't think so.
Well, that kind of blows, but I'm getting used to using the circle pad, I guess.
The D-pad is weirdly placed on the 3DS. I don't think I would like to use that for a fighting game, because like, just playing Bravely Default, and all the menus have to use the D-pad, and just on like a turn-based strategy game, that ends up getting really uncomfortable after a while.
Which 3DS are you using?
XL.
Oh, okay. I don't have a problem with the placement of the D-pad.
I don't like using it when I have to.
Maybe you have weird hands.
Maybe.
That's possible. Like, I have no problem using the D-pad whenever I, like, play the retro games on my DS.
Now, if I use the D-pad, like, for an extended period of time, I will get a blister.
That's kind of different, though.
Yeah.
That's because you played it a lot. That's because you played it a long time. You either get a blister or you get that claw hand thing. Which I've had a few times before in my life.
But yeah, I'm...
Ball hand thing?
Probably going to a lot of time into that coming a couple weeks from now, so...
What I really hate, though, about Smash is it's coming out, like, just a few weeks after Final Fantasy Curtain Call comes out. Theater Rhythm.
Oh, Final Fantasy 3... And actually, Nintendo is like stacking their releases all on top of each other, because they have Hyrule Warriors coming out, and then they have Smash coming out a week after that, and then apparently the Wii version of Smash Brothers is going to come out as the same as same day as Pokemon. So,
well, that's because they're not counting anybody to buy it for the Wii U, because Wii U.
Or yeah. They're considering that their console and their handhelds are not necessarily competing with each other.
Well, and you know, Pokemon, nothing competes with Pokemon.
Yeah.
This is a fairly beefy holiday season.
Yeah, although
Pokemon, Smash, New Borderlands. There's a lot going on.
It's still illegal to sell kidneys in most places, right?
Generally.
Yeah.
Unless you're a butcher, then I think they have like a whole section
but you know,
case devoted to kidneys.
And don't let that stop you.
The new Nerf bow and arrow is coming your way, and it means business.
The power is pumping and arrows in your hand. Now your heart is pumping fire as quick as you can. Nerf bow and arrow. The enemy's coming, now they're in your sight. Nerf bow and arrow. To the front of the line, in the thick of the fight. Nerf bow and arrow.
The mightiest Nerf adventure ever.
You're listening to Power Playback. Look for Power Playback every Friday on Twitter at superhero_time.
Let's go on.
Yes.
Please.
Can't do this. I honestly can't do it. I tried to do the stupid Mario... I tried to do that.
You tried to do the Mario.
Yeah.
Just move your arms from side to side.
Do the Mario.
Oh, God.
Move your arms from side to side.
Come on, I don't think those moves would work in six.
What? I didn't know.
Oh, no.
So for Power Playback this week, it's the best thing ever.
Alcohol?
No.
You can't say no to that, man. You can't say no to that.
I don't really like drinking.
Same.
But drinking is the reason why I can do this show.
Well it works that works for you.
And it works for you too.
Well, technically.
In a way, yeah.
It works for me plenty, trust me.
So I heard. No, we watched Goanger for Power Playback this week.
Always a good choice.
One of my very favorite episodes.
Eh?
That doesn't narrow it down.
Well, it sort of does. I mean, granted, I'll admit most episodes of Goanger are my favorite episodes of Goanger, but still. Episode 31 kind of comes out near the top somewhere. I can't decide between that and Sosuke Bankai, though. Because Sosuke Bankai is a great episode. It's got, you know, screaming Sosuke head and roll call.
Screaming, burning Sosuke head.
And the roll call. I mean, you can't really go wrong with Sosuke Bankai, but this is great, too.
Yeah.
So, Mickey, I'm putting this one on you.
I've already done an episode. This one's on you. This is your favorite episode.
Well, no, you took Tokyuger from Paladin. That wasn't my choice.
Yeah, but we're all bettered for it.
Christina, okay. You take this one.
What? I never seen this. I just got in here.
Well, why'd you come on if you weren't prepared for the show this week?
You never told me anything. I was
welcome to Superhero Time.
I was completely unprepared about this because I had a conversation with Gigabeetle earlier. I was like, hey, see if they're doing the podcast. See if you could go in. Okay, I got in.
Gigabeetle trolled you.
I trust
okay, well,
God damn you.
I'm
gonna blame Ken on this one.
I don't see how that makes any logical sense.
I guess
you're gonna allow this.
I guess we'll have to go for the measure of last resort here. Paladin, you're up.
Oh, God damn it.
Do a better job this time.
Okay, so Monster of the Week smashes into a Pinto and blows it up immediately. Come on, that's gotta be what happened. That thing just tapped into a park, into like a street sign. How else would it have blown up right away?
Could have been made by GMC.
I have an Impala.
<Damn it>.
Yeah. Great fun.
Of course, your car is also full of snakes.
Yeah, it is. Not lately.
Are you sure?
What?
I haven't seen. Not okay. Not that I have seen.
Uh huh.
No random snakes on my window, and no random snake skins in my door frame.
Well, that's good.
I haven't checked back. I haven't checked the trunk though. So.
But do you want to?
Not really.
I'll give you $5 if you could.
I will videotape that if you'd like to send me $5.
Hey, a vine's worth $5, right?
Anyway, Go Under.
So, Go Under's come to confront the new monster, which apparently is not a Gaiark creature, but whatever. It's harming people's smiles, so therefore it must die.
Harsh, man.
Their words, not mine.
Yeah. Saki takes her smiles really seriously.
Alarmingly seriously.
Well, in fairness, everything about Saki is kind of alarming.
Everything about everyone is kind of alarming.
Yeah, but
show.
Saki especially.
This is the least sane cast.
I love them.
And that's why we love them, so... And they whip out the Super Highway Buster, and it has absolutely no effect. Presumably because Bearer V.
Well, that's not true. She won
well,
the
no,
race
it's,
this
it's
episode.
Because they used their finisher right at the beginning of the episode.
Yeah, it is the very first thing they did. In fact, they didn't try to fight it. They just whipped out the Super Highway Buster. You never do that. Didn't the Keeper
Ranger
just anything?
Keeper Ranger?
Well, in fairness, Keeper Ranger came later. So.
Yeah.
That's yeah. still no excuse for them. But anyway, the Go On Wings try their finisher, and they make it grow big.
So, technically, Oops. They were, like, anti-effective. Although, I mean, I guess if the result of a finisher being successful also is a monster going big, it's hard to really gauge this.
That's a very fair point.
Maybe they were more successful then. They
are
the wings.
They are the Go On Wings.
Yeah. High five, Chris.
So, they are about to summon the engines to try and take on the monster again, but then in come the Gaiark with their new musical instruments.
Oh god, my ears.
I love yes. this. I have this song on my MP3 player.
The Gaiark are metal as shit.
Literally?
Well, yeah, actually.
Although Kakereshia is, like, the least convincing drummer. Like, I have an easier time believing that, you know, Kitanides can play guitar through the rubber suit than I believe her playing the drums.
Well, yeah. Being able to see the face, I think, does a lot to that.
Yeah, she's totally giving porn star idol face while she's playing the drums.
Well,
figure.
Perfect for this episode, isn't it?
Yeah.
And considering the actress.
Yeah.
That's kind of the joke, yes.
Yeah.
So, after the intro, which I still say this is probably in my top 5 Super Sentai intros of all time.
It's certainly the one that sticks in your head the most.
Absolutely.
According to Wingus, at least.
Yeah, what does Wingus know? He liked Eternal.
Aside from the music, though, I also like the visuals going on with it, too.
Yeah.
Specifically when it goes to the cast photos. And you get the little word describing them flashing up in the background.
Well, I also like, you know, the updated version, which I think we have in this episode.
Yeah.
Where they hop out and take the helmets off, which is better than how it started.
Yeah.
Also, it goes back to
the frenetic endpoints, but still very awesome.
It goes back
to
another
thing I like that when Yogastan dies, they take him out of the opening.
Mm-hmm. But also, Yogastan dies, and that's sad.
That it is sad, but I mean, you usually don't see that much attention paid to villains in openings.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true. It's like Shinkinger. They didn't take anybody out.
So after the intro, it turns out this monster is from Sound World and feeds on noise. And if they keep making noise around it, he will eventually grow so big he will crush the planet beneath his feet.
Oh.
Also, I like Diogo Stein ripping off Ren's catchphrase.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tsubari Sekai Nari.
And he did not take well to that either.
Well, it's one thing I really like about this episode is just watching the Gaiark and the Goanders interacting without technically fighting each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's always fun when the heroes and the villains team up.
Uh-huh.
And with these guys, it's like... I mean, it's like, okay, pretty... Like, they're off the villaining clock right now, so... Yeah. It's like
the sheepdog cartoon,
the,
yeah.
Wolf
yeah,
and
the
sheepdog.
Yeah, the sheepdog and the wolf.
It's they're also like, great, too, because both sides here are equally incompetent, but in completely different directions.
Yes.
And we learned that when the Gaiark decide to sing their beautiful song to try and make the monster shrink again.
Whoops.
Whoops.
Make my monster shrink, shit.
Well, they should have known anything with Bikrium energy activate in it would just make it get bigger. Because that's the catchphrase for making them grow.
Yes. They don't even understand their own technology.
The sad thing is, though, that's so credible with the Gaiark.
That's...
They have all this stuff, and they know that it works. They just don't know how or why. I love the Gaiark.
They're the best villains.
Uh-huh.
Especially since they did Sid sign. Even when they're dead, they still show up.
Uh-huh.
As being dead.
Yes. Just as they were, just with that little band, those little bands around their heads, and now they're always carrying the bottle of sake they got from Kenta.
Yeah, they have continuity.
Mm-hmm.
They got better.
No,
they're just
they're still
dead,
dead,
but they're hanging around. It's cool.
They got
they're
so much.
They're showing up in they're showing up in Bad Guy Jail in Gavin. Gokai vs. Gavin, still dead, still with the booze.
Yeah.
And still kind of happy about it.
Yeah.
They're I think their time. Ghost got jailed.
But they have booze, so it's okay.
It's okay. They're fine.
Gaiark are some of the drinkingest villains in Sentai.
If not the drinkingest villains in Sentai.
Yeah, well,
although,
I mean...
Although they're still gray.
Yeah.
Oh, that's true. That classy, that's one classy motherfucker. It's true! That's gray, man!
I can't disagree.
Yeah, the drunkiest villains are definitely the Gaiark. You see them drinking all the time. Not even Biker Gang, whose base is... Just an actual bar. It's not like the Gaiark who have a bar in their base. The Biker Gang's base is the bar.
And yet they don't drink as much as the Gaiark.
Yeah.
That says something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Frankly, though, if you were fighting the Goanders every day, wouldn't you drink?
I think there's something to be said.
I don't know. Fighting the Goanders. The Goanders are awesome.
So, now that the Gaiark have failed spectacularly, it's time for Gohan Gold to try and sing.
Ah, he tries. No, another gold star.
And you'd think if anyone would be able to, it'd be him, but nope. Failure again.
His reaction is the best.
But when he was singing,
that
he
kind of breaks something inside him, because obviously he's not used to failing.
Especially when they cut to him later on and he's just plucking the power battles.
Aw, so much for his perfect harmony.
He found one thing that he isn't perfect at.
He didn't even do that bad, it just wasn't to that monster's taste.
I like how the more he sings, the softer the focus lens gets.
Yes.
I can sing a D-flat. I can't sing a D-flat. That monster doesn't know good music when he hears it. I can sing! I wonder if the Goalhunters actually heard that, or heard him like cry out like that for the next couple of days.
No, they probably didn't because he and his sister live in this big mansion while the other Goalhunters live in a
bus. Anytime they meet in battle, I'm just saying, like during, he was just telling them, "I can sing. I can sing! Watch me sing this monster! This is not the time! We get it! You can! The monster does not have good taste in your music! We can move on now!"
Can we move on now?
Yes.
So, Saki has decided the only way to ensure a beautiful song to soothe the monster's soul is to form an idol group. She first just wants to do a duet with Miyu, but then screw it, I cannot pronounce that name.
Kagarishia.
Thank you. Kagarishia. Decides to join in and make a trio of it because she doesn't trust them at all and the feeling is mutual.
Also, you know, her background, she's used to doing threesomes.
Oh, snap!
And then the clock goes off and makes things even worse.
But it makes it better first.
I like that Saki's idea is suitably insane and cheery of, we need an idol group to solve this problem.
And Mia's reaction is very, you know, sane. It's like, what? Huh? No!
And they each have different insane ideas of how to train to be an idol group. Saki thinks they must be smiling all the time, so she dresses them all in schoolgirl outfits and takes them on a roller coaster.
What?
What?
Really? Wait. That happens.
Perfect logic. What's wrong?
I understand smiling all the time. I just didn't think to that extreme.
She takes her smiling very seriously.
Yeah.
Smile no matter what's happening.
Kagarishia is nonplussed.
No.
Roller coasters don't seem to agree with her, which is odd after all the going up and down she must have endured in her life.
Oh! Okay.
So that's when the other guy decide to try singing again.
So Bomper analyzes the sound of that clock, which the monster destroyed because it pissed it off. And Bomper says that it's similar to the sound of a female singing voice.
Which, I have no idea how that works.
That's not really the important part now, is it? Because what happens next?
Cross-dressing. In rubber suits.
Yes.
I love this.
Honto's not the only one who cross-dresses in this series.
Hooray!
I think Yagostein kind of pulls this off.
Yeah.
That's the scary part.
I want to argue with that, and yet I cannot.
Yeah. Yagostein makes a very handsome woman. What can we say?
Nari. I mean,
yeah, Nari.
That's all you can say.
Yeah.
Then it's time for the engine race, and Bearer V wins.
Because even the girl wins more often than Barca.
Barca actually has won 3 times so far watching this, which...
Really?
I thought it only won once, but now it's at least 3 so far, so...
Hmm. Interesting.
You know, 3 out of 46 episodes.
Okay, so question. Are you watching the TV Nihon subs over, or the Going On?
The TV Nihon subs, because for some reason, maybe it's because I watched TV Nihon first, Going On, it feels awkward to me.
Maybe a little sterile?
Yes.
They went too far in one direction?
Well, part of it's just simple things like, I know his name actually is Hunt, but I'm so used to seeing as Honto.
Yeah.
That I can't get past it.
Mm-hmm.
even though it's in like big letters on his jacket.
I know. That's the crazy thing. Is I know objectively that the TVD Hans version is wrong, but it's what feels right to me anyway. I have no justification for my emotion on the subject.
No, I get it. I get it, though, because, I mean, I went through the same thing, feel basically the same about it.
So, back in idol training, Kigarishia decides the most important technique is to pose correctly, so she forces the girls into exoskeletons that move them around against their will.
It's bonded. It's bonded.
Wow.
Gear.
That does sound like the setup of a porn.
Yeah, she has a lot of experience with bondage gear like this.
I was going to say, wow, this new season of America's Next Top Model gone really downhill.
You mean uphill.
Depends on your perspective.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the rest of the Go-Anders are trying to fight it with their swords, and that is not going well for them at all.
I particularly like how now the Guy Arc and Hirocho are sulking, plucking rose petals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
At least Hirocho is justified.
And finally, it turns out Miyu went to the King Piccolo School of Training and decides the best technique is dodge.
Yes!
Sadly, their special training did not involve all the previous idols trying to kill these three.
Yeah, but I mean, think about it though. Even just bringing AKB-48 in, they would have been murdered.
Yeah.
By AKB-48 or by the fans?
Yes.
Either way, there would have been a lot of tiny little fists beating them to a pulp.
Where was I? Oh, yeah. So the monster keeps growing larger and larger and larger and is just about to step on everyone else when finally the idol group has arrived.
Hooray.
Having achieved perfect unity through burning idol justice
through,
or something.
Through burning ball smacks.
Something else Kigarishia would be very familiar with at this point in her career.
Oh my.
And then, of course, then in comes the song.
The song.
Also known as, how many different ways can we vary the engine rep?
Well, it's 19.
A lot, as it turns out.
Yeah.
Sadly, this is not included in the 15-minute long version.
No, it's not. And it's actually like 17 and a half minutes for Max. I have that on my MP3 player also.
Jesus.
It's good for long car rides. Like, I can leave the house.
Last 17 and a half minutes.
I can leave the house and turn that on, and by the time I get to the grocery store, it's just finishing.
Huh.
But I can put on the first engine ramp and not even make it to the through
yeah,
the
but
entire
you live,
before
you
I got
live,
to the grocery store.
You live 2 blocks away from your grocery store. I'm like 12 miles.
So, the monster shrinks back down to normal human size, and the G3 princesses all morph back to their combat forms. Even Kigarishia.
Sure.
Because why not?
Mm-hmm.
Even with the same helmet move.
Yeah.
Well, she had to do something there, otherwise, you know, they wouldn't be in sync anymore.
And their unique finishing move for this episode is Princess Cannonball.
A.K.A.
Go Ranger Hurricane.
Yep.
In pink.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, Go Anger Hurricane.
Uh-huh.
Ah.
See? It's similar in sounding.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
So that was the G3 Princess episode. And it's kind of amazing. And also kind of weird.
In the best way, though.
That's go on during dinner. Yes.
Can you even imagine them trying to readapt this for RPM?
God almighty.
Jesus.
Well, there would be no adapting the G3 princess part because of Kigarishia, but, you know.
They'd find some insane way to reshoot it with Tenaya 7. Only it'd be serious and dark.
Yes. Actually, I was thinking Dr. K in that role.
Oh, no. Oh,
why not have both of them? Why not both of them?
No.
There's not any barrier to having four in the group in the adaptation.
Yeah, she could at least provide the music.
I could kind of see that working.
That's the thing. That's why I was saying, oh no, because it could work.
Yeah.
But the thing is, if this is an RPM adaptation, there'd be no music. It'd be about, you know, feeding humans into a pool of lava or something to power something.
RPM and Gonja were so different.
And both so amazing.
Yeah.
I don't know what black witchcraft they performed to perform this transmutation of
They spent the entire series worth of money in the first week. You can spend as much money as you want.
No. It doesn't mean you can like magically write something that works like they did.
No, yeah. Now it was Disney.
It was them not giving a shit either. Because they were like, okay, it was Disney not giving a shit because it was okay. Yeah, this is the last season. Do whatever you want, just don't go over budget.
And what they do?
They went over budget.
That's how it was actually filmed, but that doesn't explain how they thought it up in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
They stole the imagination of children from the Space Mountain ride. It's like, okay, kids, just look at the images. And here's the thing. Don't you think that every ride in Disney might have, like, stolen some sort of imagination for these children, and that's got them ideas for RPM.
I don't know about that, but I rode It's a Small World 7 times during my 2-day trip to Disney World, and I'm convinced there's one of them holding a knife, and it changes positions every time I went through the ride.
I think Disney should have been an amazing Tokyo villain.
Walt Disney?
Yeah, why not?
Why not? The most amazing Tokyo villain.
So it'd be like Lord Zedd with a little mustache and drop the book to freeze.
That should be in the adaptation. Just a great way of Saban saying, screw you, Disney. I will make Zedd into... get Zedd your mustache.
Except I don't think... Toei really gives a shit what Saban does.
Oh, no,
y'all
Toei
want our footage and costumes? Yeah, whatever. We're just going to shit on them and throw them away anyway. Y'all do whatever you want in America. It doesn't matter. You don't matter. Well, you don't want trains too bad. We're doing them anyway. Next year's series is going to be about tentacle porn. Deal with that.
No, but I mean, what could they do next year for Sentai that would, you know, just be impossible to work with?
Have it be about salary men.
Well, isn't that just Kamen Rider Office Space that we talked about last time?
They could do about a proper diet and education.
Oh God, yeah, they'd run away from that.
Saban would just find a way to turn it into a series about space.
Now, what would Saban do with Kamen Rider Fours?
Um
Basically, recycle the plot from Masked Rider.
Oh.
No, they'd set the moon base underneath the sea, like in Last Big Rescue.
It would be a submarine theme show.
Yeah, because teleporting to the moon is, you know, silly.
Right.
Yeah, there wouldn't be any teleporting. The locker in the school would actually just be a tunnel that goes down under the ocean, and they walk up
and they would
back
actually
from.
Launch Power Rider Forza from a cannon, like a bullet.
You're
they wouldn't
mixing
need the
your shows.
With Saban, you can breathe on the moon.
You're mixing
and we'd
your
have
shows.
Some.
Well, according to Joey, you can also breathe on the moon.
Crows or something.
No, they would launch Powered Rider Forza from a train shot over the city. Like, the train would just be flying over the city and he'd jump out and... just land
Furbus would be driving the train.
Yes. Why not? That suit's probably still around somewhere.
Right.
Probably in Tony Oliver's closet.
Oh no, it's around somewhere, but no one knows where.
And every time they look, it's somewhere different.
Dun dun dun.
Holding a knife?
Sure.
Reminder, the guy who played Furbus is the only one whose acting career survived Masked Rider.
Because no one wanted to cross him.
Because nobody knew it was him until years later. If he'd been listed in the main credits with the rest of the cast, I'm sure he would have gone nowhere. You know, he would have been poisoned by association, but since nobody knew and he made a career for himself, he survived. Or something, I don't know. What are we doing for Power Playback next week?
How about Power Rangers?
Or should we just plan to skip Power Playback because of our other plan?
If the other plan does go through, then we probably...
We should have a backup just in case.
Maybe.
How about Go Under?
We could do Sosuke Bonky again.
What should we watch?
You're suggesting me to watch... Oh, okay. Power Playback? I don't know.
I'm gonna pick
like something at random. I don't know.
Better than we do.
Oh, Hurricaneer, Hedekendra or something.
There's not enough of that subbed, and Hurricaneer's boring.
That's pretty terrible.
Okay.
Like, we watched an episode of Hurricaneer.
Oh my god! Watch an episode of X.
We watched Starfish Hitler once.
Yeah, and that's really the only... Like,
how can you top that, really?
Like, we went as far as watching Hong Kong subs just to watch the Starfish Hitler episode.
Oh, that was great, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Trying to decipher what the hell was going on.
Yeah, yeah.
Number one Hitler evil group.
Yeah.
What's the status on Battle Fever right now?
Oh, right, Battle Fever. Oh, God.
Yeah, Fort Max, what's going on with Battle Fever J?
I'm not sure. I haven't been paying attention.
Oh.
What did we pay you for?
You don't.
Oh,
exactly.
So it hasn't been updated since December 2012, so still just episode 6.
That's probably out.
Other group.
Other group?
I don't have the other group bookmarked. You'll have to help me.
Fort Max, are you helping? Oh, you are. Hard to tell sometimes.
They are up to episode 7.
Fantastic.
Then
you could do that.
Oh, there's Battle Fever.
Yeah, go for Battle Fever.
Fine, let's do Battle Fever 7.
Yay!
Showa Sentai.
We've done that before.
Yeah.
And usually it went badly.
Yeah.
Actually, usually, I don't know. Usually,
I don't know. Usually, it's going pretty good because, yeah. Well, Bioman, Sun Vulcan.
Bioman, Sun Vulcan.
Bioman's kind of timeless, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Showa Sentai has a good chance of being weird enough to be good. Showa Kamen Rider, not so much.
Well, that episode of, you know,
Sky Rider.
Well, no, like original Kamen. Like original Kamen Rider, though, where you know he like jumped in that kid's window completely at random just to get people up.
Buries himself in a coffin that previously held Nazi science secrets.
I enjoy Showa Rider, but it's something you kind of have to. It has to be to your tastes a bit. If it's not, it's understandable.
I refuse to understand it.
It's kind of hard to understand when...
That's what subtitles are for.
Yeah, but even with subtitles, you're still wondering what kind of drugs were they on when making Showa Rider?
It was the 70s.
All of them.
70s. All of them in a cocktail.
And a couple more.
For good
while they're banging six other people.
Well, then there was that one episode of Metal Heroes we watched.
There was?
That was drugs.
Was it
that Christmas
What's
episode?
With Robotech again sometime.
Oh, Robotech.
No, we haven't watched Robotech.
Kabotech. My bad.
I was about to say.
Although we should watch Robotech if anyone ever translates it.
Nobody's ever going to
translate
that.
The one special, the one thing of it that's on DVD has not been translated.
Fix that, Fort Max. Translate it for us.
I don't think Fort Max is the translating one. Fort Max, could you do like they did with the old G-Ranger episodes and just like, you know, guess and make a subtitle track for it? And
That still takes time. I'd still have to time the thing.
Good point. Well, not necessarily. I mean, you could just guess the timing, too.
You can guess timing. It's not that hard. Okay.
Just don't put
about
any time...
5 minutes in.
Just don't put any time codes.
This.
No, don't put any time codes in the subtitle script. Just, you know, have the entire thing appear on screen at once. It'll be fine. People can remember what was said earlier. Well, we can always rewatch the Kabutech Christmas special at Christmas.
Yeah, I haven't shown that to David yet. I know what I'm doing this year.
Have you shown him the Shider Christmas episode?
I don't think I've seen the Shider Christmas episode.
Isn't it has a crucified Santa in it.
Isn't that the thing we actually
watched?
We've watched it.
Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah, I think I did watch that.
Did you show David the Cocker Ranger Christmas episode?
I don't think I have.
If you still have the original subs, the pre-Grown-Ups and Spandex one, you should show him that.
I might.
It's wildly wrong in places, but that makes it better.
Or just take the Grown-Ups and Spandex one and change that one line.
Well, yeah, that's the only real substantive difference anyway.
You know, it's MKV. It's not that hard.
Yeah. Well,
except, on a Mac, I can't do that.
Yeah, I was just going to say...
It's not that hard for people with computers.
Well done.
Oh, I say this and I have everything but a Mac as far as iDevices go.
Enjoy your Apple Watch.
I might eventually, depending on how much it costs.
A lot.
Probably. So I'll probably
as much as a car payment.
Yeah.
I have one of those already.
True,
Ken,
you
don't need two kidneys, do you?
Hey, don't ruin the market for Paladin here. If you start flooding the market with kidneys, nobody's gonna want to pay anything for them.
He has a point.
Well, you can. No, there has to be something else. You don't need your...
Well, people aren't really paying for spleens.
Or appendixes.
Yeah.
You don't need... You only need one lung.
You don't need all of your liver. It's not like you drink.
You can extend your large intestine to all the way to your lower intestine, so that'll be fine.
Maybe
the large intestine is the lower intestine.
Yeah, I have enough issues with
that. Well, that's why it reaches so easily. Ken, maybe you can trade part of your liver to Mickey.
I don't know, Mickey.
Well, I don't want to get more livers before I use the one I have.
Well, yeah, you gotta keep it in storage.
No, yeah. No. Ken, sell one eye, and then you could put on an eye patch, and then people will think that you're cool. At least to strangers, not to us, because you're still Ken.
He could just wear an eye patch over his eye.
But what's the point of having an eye patch when he's not willing to sell
because
his eye
patch? Because then he has an eye patch.
Yeah.
For Max, for that.
No. When he loses his depth perception, we will, and still keeps his two eyes, we will be not sympathetic towards him because he stupidly wore an eye patch, despite the fact
we're sympathetic for him to him now.
Again, why? Damn, you're making Fort Max make all these good points. What is going on here?
You're making Fort Max be nice.
This is what happens when I'm a superhero. Time I change people's characters.
Oh God.
So I think that'll be our show for this week.
Indeed.
And hey, Christina actually managed to stay almost the entire time without interruption. Almost.
Woo-hoo!
Without getting tired of us and wandering away.
Well, we still don't know what happened at the end of Gaim, so.
Oh, what happened at the end of Gaim?
Disappeared.
I disappeared. I don't know. I'm pretty sure it just ended with.
Well, no, we know what happened at the end of the episode, but, you know, we don't know what happened with you when you disappeared.
Oh, it was called My Internet Was Being a Bitch.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Moo.
You've been listening to Superhero Time. Go to tokupodcast.com for show notes and to listen to previous episodes. Find us on iTunes or download our Android app at tfradio.net/android. Follow us on Twitter for show updates, weekly power playback, and more at superhero_time. Superhero Time is a Radio Free Cybertron production.
Sometimes I like to call my Wi-Fi Michi, just because.
Your wife's name is Michi?
No, I like to call my Wi-Fi Michi.
You're mispronouncing the word wife.
Wi-Fi!
Or do you mean waifu?
No! Internet! God,
Mitchie's your,
damn Mitchie, it!
Mitchie's your internet waifu?
No.
You have terrible taste.
You could do better.
You have terrible taste in waifus.
I know who my waifu is. It's not Mitchie.
It's Gigabeetle.
Is it Senpai?
Gigabeetle's my senpai, but not my waifu.
No, I've heard you two talk to each other. It's pretty obvious.
No.
Gigabeetle is everyone's waifu.
Yeah, that's true.
Gigabeetle sure sleeps around.
He's the internet sweetheart.
And if TweetDeck hadn't crashed, I would be tweeting that right now. Damn.
Oh, well, you missed your chance.
Apparently so.
Now no one will ever know I said it.
That's right.
Because
This totally isn't going to go in the show somewhere.
Totally isn't.
Superhero Time! 次回もよろしく! You can hear our show on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, or Palm phones. On demand and on the go. Don't have Stitcher? Download it for free today at Stitcher.com or in the app stores. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.